بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله الأمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
We're still studying the chapter that deals with foods and what is permissible and what is not. And we have hadith number 384, I believe. And the brother would read it to us.
Narrated Abdullah ibn Abi Awfa, we participated with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in 6 or 7 expeditions and we ate locusts.
Now, this hadith deals with the ruling on eating locusts. And we know that locust is an insect and it travels in the millions and it goes and eats anything that is green. And Abdullah ibn Abi Awfa, may Allah be pleased with him, is telling us about something that did not take place once or twice, so many times, and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam watched them eat it and did not object to it. So what is the proper way of slaughtering a locust? Because it doesn't have blood in it and it is not seafood, so how is it to be slaughtered?
We have to boil it, Sheikh.
You have to boil it?
Yeah.
So if I eat it raw?
Even there is no harm, because I have read an article about the locust. They said that you have to boil it in the first place.
No. Have to boil it? No. You can eat it, you can grill it, you can sizzle it, you can do barbecue with it, anything you wish. See, the locust is a dead life. And in Islam, we're prohibited from eating anything that is dead. So if we find locusts on the ground, we just simply put it in big sacks and bags, and we can eat it in any way we want or cook it. Because the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that 2 dead meat were made permissible for us. Fish, anything that lives in the sea, and the locust. Now, this is something I did not try in my life. So I don't know how it looks. Would I be willing to try it? I would not, even if you give me $1 million. But this is important for us to know whether it's halal or haram, especially if you are in a country that is dependent on agriculture and you get a swarm of locusts coming and eating your crops and the people are in hunger, they're starving. So you say, sorry, no crops, no locusts. No, they are entitled to eat it. In a lot of places, they do it as a delicacy. Our role is to say whether it's halal or haram, whether it is delicious or not, whether it is tasteful for you to eat it or not. This is not the point. The rule is easy and simple. It is permissible for Muslims to eat it. Moving on to hadith number 385.
Narrated Zaidan bin Mudarrib al-Jarmi, we were with Abu Musa al-Ash'ari. We called a table with chicken meat on it. A man from Bani Taymilla, having a red complexion similar to a non-Arab freed slave, and that man hesitated to eat. Abu Musa said to him, come along, I have seen Allah's Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam eating of that.
Now, the hadith is regarding the ruling on eating what? Chicken. Fried chicken, grilled chicken, barbecued chicken, boiled chicken, any kind of chicken. Abu Musa al-Ash'ari stated the Prophet alayhi wasallam ate from chicken. Do we need any more to discuss? No problem. The 10th hadith in this chapter, or the last with us in the chapter that deals with foods, hadith number 386. Okay.
Narrated Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when you eat, do not wipe your hands till you have licked it or had it licked by someone else.
Now, this is part of the etiquette of eating. And one would say, what? Licking your finger is part of the etiquette of eating? Again, akhi, we're not talking about 5-star hotels. We're not talking about the Western civilization. We're talking about something that was here centuries ago, and Allah knows best, it will become also part of life of the people centuries later. The civilization that we are enjoying at the moment, if we can say that we are enjoying, the technology was only here since 150 years maybe. And Allah Azza wa Jal knows how long it will stay, because the oil is not there forever. And they're unable to find replacements for energy. And we're told that at the end of the time, when the Muslims would fight with other nations, they will be using bows and arrows. They will be using horns to move from one place to the other. So we know that at the end of the time, we will not have this civilization. What did it result of? Was it nuclear war that killed everybody? Allah knows. We know that at the end of the time, the population would be in Arabia, Syria, the Sham area only. So what happens to America and the Europe? And we have no mentioning of that, which means that something will happen to them. We don't anticipate these things. We don't, but I'm saying to you, when you come to hadiths and studying it, learn and realize that Islam is for all times and all places. So don't judge the religion just because you have reached a certain level of sophistication that you say, no, this is not applicable. Licking the fingers and licking the hand after eating, it is until today found in so-called civilized countries. The logo or the motto of one of the franchise, finger licking good. So even them, when they eat their food, they lick their fingers. So, this is okay, this comes from America. But the hadith is saying licking your fingers is inappropriate. Why? Why do you have these double standards? So first of all, part of the etiquette is to lick your finger after finishing the food. Why, Sheikh? Why can't I just simply wash it or clean it with tissue? No, this is not the sunnah. Why? There are number of hadiths stating that Allah's blessing descends on food. And that is why, for example, the Prophet forbade us, alayhi salatu wasalam, from eating from the middle of the plate. You have to eat from the sides. Why? Because the barakah, the blessing, descends on the middle and then it cascades down. If you eat it from the middle, then you deprive the food from having this barakah. Also, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam told us that if someone is eating a morsel and it falls on the ground, pick it up, clean it, and eat it, and not leave it to shaitan. Also, the Prophet tells us, alayhi salatu wasalam, to lick your fingers and to lick the plate after eating it, because you do not know where the barakah is. Maybe it is in one of your fingers and you wash it and it goes. All of these prove that the barakah exists. And it's a long topic, how to attain and to obtain Allah's barakah. Why do we read the Quran? To get the barakah. Why do we say Bismillah when we eat? Because we want Allah to bless our food, to bless our bodies, and to bless everything that we get encountered with. That's why we always remember Allah and hope to find the barakah in our jobs, because we want Allah's barakah in our wealth. We want Allah's barakah in our children. We want Allah's barakah in our knowledge. We want Allah's barakah in our forms of prayer and fasting and hajj. Without Allah's barakah, you have nothing. And that is why you find a person who has a very fat paycheck at the end of the month. Yet in the middle of the month, he says, the money is gone. I don't know why. I'm receiving a very high salary, but there's no barakah. And another person who is getting very little, which is peanuts, nothing, yet mashallah, at the end of the month he has saved money and he's investing to build a house. His income is nothing because Allah gave him barakah. You find barakah in people's lives. Someone giving 10 or 20 classes a day. There is barakah in his time, yet he goes with his wife, with children, and he visits people. And you find someone who has only so much work on his day, yet he fails to do 1/10 of that person. Why? Allah blesses those whom he wishes and deprives the blessing from those who he does not. We have a short break. Stay tuned, and inshallah, we'll be right back.